Give me the go, son. All right. We're going to start tonight. And, you know, I normally don't just read prayers out of books and devotions. I pray. But this was a prayer from my devotional book. And it's just really got some words in it that I have been focusing on during my prayer time. And I just want to open up and share it. The title of the devotion part of it was called True Values. And in a world right now where we think our values have been turned upside down and inside out, where they may not even make sense, it just really impacted me. And I've been praying not this all the time, but some of the things that landed in my heart. Father in heaven, help us seek the values that will bring us lasting joy in this changing world. And in our desire for all that you promise, make us one in mind and heart. Lord God, nothing is good which is against your will. And all is of value which comes from your hand. Place in our hearts a desire to please you. And fill our minds with insight into love. So that every thought may grow in wisdom. And all our efforts may be filled with your peace. Amen. I just thought, you know, It signified unity, which our country needs to get back to and the Christians need to get to. And it's encouraging us as Christians to absorb the true values of God, irregardless of how the world is reacting. And we need to pray that things in our heart get focused back on God. And not on what's going on around us. It's His will we need to seek. It's His peace we need to seek. It's Him that we as Christians need to keep first and foremost in our life, irregardless of anything else that might even agitate us or upset us, or that we don't agree with. We might disagree with the government. We might disagree with some of the people and the decisions they want made in this country. But we need to keep focused back to what the values of God is and what His will is and work from there. Our efforts need to be done with His peace with us. So I thought I just wanted to share that because it did really, like in our changing world, please help us choose the values in our changing world. And we know that throughout history, our world has changed. You know, there was a time, it didn't matter if you were a Christian or not a Christian at all. Certain things were wrong and unacceptable. And now it seems like we have to daily stand up.
And now it's about, now a lot of the churches have accepted the moral standards of the world.
That's right.
And, you know, Romans 12 says, the thing that you've got to fight is not that you don't take on the customs of the world.
That's right. And we have in certain churches. And so we as Christians have to focus on God and keep going back to His will and His word and how He wants things done. Well, I'm going to continue tonight on praise. And I just want to say that praise and worship Sunday morning was so strong. And so good, and it just filled me up so fully. And I want to thank Miss Laverne and the praise and worship team and those involved for listening to the Holy Spirit and for Sister Shirley's sermon. And that's wonderful, you all. But let's look back to our week so far. We're not even completely through with it, but let's look at the 3 days that we've had since we left here Sunday. Did we take off our garment of praise when we left the praise and worship service? How many might take off the garment of praise when they left here? You see, praise to God doesn't have to happen in church. It doesn't, I mean, it's wonderful when it does. Praise doesn't have to have instruments. It doesn't have to have.
We prove that every time.
And it doesn't have to have a lead. It doesn't have to have a leader. We need to be able to praise God privately also. Now, when we go back to the definition of praise, it's adorning, it's worshiping, it's telling Him how wonderful He is. And we talked last week. How can you find out how we can praise God? Well, if one of the things that I want to encourage anybody to do, because Psalms is a book of praise, go to Psalms, and yes, David's going to tell you the things that was happening in his life, and you might want to read over it because it's not much different than what is going on in our lives. But where I want you to really head to is at the end of what he writes, he never fails to give praise to God. So you don't know what to say? Turn your Psalms open, go to the end of the chapter, and start saying the words that David said. Those are praises. And once you get that in your spirit, then the praises will come more easily. The other thing is use your spirit language, the gift that God's given us with the spirit of tongues, and sing in the Holy Spirit, and let those words come forth to God. Because I guarantee you, I don't know anybody right now that could say, I haven't had a reason not to praise this week, even in the few days we've had. I guarantee you there have been things that have came across your life that would be a good reason to say, I don't need to praise God today. Look at what has happened. I don't need to praise God today. Again, we don't look at our circumstances. We don't praise God for our circumstances. He did not say, Paul did not write, in everything rejoice. Rejoice in your circumstances. Not, I mean, like for the circumstances. We're to rejoice in them, but we're not supposed to rejoice for them.
You know, Miss Martha, in my situation, I don't think it's like I make a decision. I just don't feel like I'm not going to praise today. I think what it is, sometimes something looks at you right in the face and you forget you got that.
Yes.
I mean, that's, you know.
You're exactly right.
I'm not going to think that way.
That's exactly right.
When you begin to think the word, you begin to read it or I'll put in a song or something. But it's not like I get up and say, well, I just feel so bad today. But, you know, I don't, because I don't think that way. But what will happen is I can be bombarded.
Yes.
And I've got to make a decision. Okay, which way am I going to go?
Right.
Okay, I'm not going that way, that's for sure.
That's right.
You know, I make a determined effort not to go that way. I try something.
Yes. And then she goes to pastor. But, you know, it is our choice. It is our choice to praise. It's our choice.
Do it enough, it'll be
become a part of us.
It'll be so much a part that we think, well, I know what to do.
Yes, and you won't need to grab your Bible,
right.
But until you learn how to praise,
right. Go
to the Word,
right.
And there it won't take you very many pages or very much farther to say, oh, I'm going to praise God because, and we learned last week in just the little Psalms that we read last week, I think Psalms 45, He is on the throne forever and ever. That's a reason to praise God.
Martha, you know, there's times when I go through things where I'm having pain, and then, of course, with my history of Atlanta, that was right there to tell you that. And in the midst of dealing with all that, there are so many times that I will realize that I am singing a praise song on the inside of me.
Yes.
And then I do it, and then my spirit says, if you're going to be that way up there, then let me get going in here.
That's right.
And then you realize, oh.
And that's when you're, the longer you do this and the more words you get in you and the more praises you get in you, it's almost like a constant state of praising, then the quicker your flesh will line up with your spirit man.
You know, we've all heard of Smith Wigglesworth.
Yes.
And he's the one that if he went more than 10 minutes without thinking about God, he would stop what he was doing.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wait a minute. I've been 10 minutes without thinking about God. I mean, he's the one that I learned a lot about practicing the presence of God.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And but he delivered, you know, and I can remember Lester Sumrall talked a lot about because he knew him personally.
Right.
And he talked about how he wouldn't even read a newspaper. You don't even know what's going on. Because he said he was so in tune with God.
Right.
But, you know, he would be anywhere and he'd say, oh, wait a minute, I got to think about it.
That's right.
But, I mean, it's not like, again, we're not getting into this thing of rules and regulations.
Right. That's right.
But look what he did, too.
Yes.
Raising the dead.
Yes. Exactly. But it is our choice. Do we let this spirit of heaviness that tries to put itself back on us keep us in bondage, or do we choose to get rid of it, lay it aside, let's say lay it aside, and put on the garment of praise? Did you realize it says put on the garment of praise? Now, God has given us the garment of praise, but it says we need to put on. And that's one of those sentences in English where the you is an understood subject. You put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. But when you're with the Lord so much, you spend more time with him, you're going to find out you've got the garment on more than you have it off. And praise God, it's there. It's there. You know, I have two teenage granddaughters, and for other people in the room that either have teenagers or teenage granddaughters, and maybe Pastor and Laverne and them, their children don't do it, but my granddaughters, they come and stay with me. And I go into the room, and you can't see the bed, and you can't see the floor, because they have tried on every outfit they have to make sure this goes with that, and getting all of that done, and they take this off, and they lay it aside. And the next thing you know, you've got, am I the only one with teenagers like that?
I thought you said he was just keeping the fourth one.
Oh.
That's why he didn't want to clean his room.
Yeah. But, you know, I think girls are almost worse about figuring out what to wear. And so then I go through and I want to do laundry and I don't know what's clean, what's dirty. And you wind up washing clean clothes all the time. But that's teenagers. That's what they do. But I wanted to bring it back to the spiritual realm. How many times in a day do we put on different coverings? Take them off, lay them aside, try on something else, pick up something else, do something else. And maybe some of the garments we pick up and put on, we have no business keeping on with us. Satan comes up and shows us a garment of fear. Do we put it over the garment of praise? Do we remove the garment of praise because you don't understand, Martha? How can I praise? You don't know how bad things are in my life. You just don't know. And you're right. I don't. I don't walk in every step you step. But I know what the word says. And there is nothing, nothing, nothing so bad that you can't turn it over to God.
Right.
And you can't still praise him for. I don't care how bad things get. Well, Miss Martha, you haven't. You're right. I haven't walked through some things. Thank you, Jesus. But I've walked through some things too. And God was there for me, and he brought me out. Did I react well every time I went through a bad situation? Absolutely not. There were times I was really close to giving up on God. I won't lie. Maybe I'm the only one that ever was there. There were times I got angry with God. There were times I was disappointed in God. But I'm telling you, the longer I have walked with God, the less I do feel those emotions.
Right.
I really do. I will have to say, I go days without blaming everything that happens on God. Because I have learned who the enemy is, and I have learned what the Word has promised me, and that I have a faithful Father who keeps His promises. And so now I'm quicker. It's kind of quicker. I'm quicker to say, that's not God doing that to you, Martha. And start praying. Thank you, God. I come against what Satan's trying to do to me. I come against him trying to steal my joy. I come against what he's trying to do in my family. I come against it. And I thank you, God, that your word has said that you give me the oil of joy for mourning, that you give me a garment of praise for heaviness. You give me a garment of praise for heaviness, and start quoting these things that he has given us. And I'm telling you, get in the word and stay with God. And it'll be quicker. And you'll see
it's like you said, it's because you've been practicing, but you got your mind renewed.
Yes, a renewed mind.
Hearing what came out of the pulpit or,
right.
or somebody's experiences or some of the songs or whatever.
Yes.
And you realize where your victory is.
Yes.
And it when you would practice that, and it's just like everything else.
Right.
It's learning and developing.
Right.
That's why you tell people the first get saved, you've got everything I got.
Right.
I've just been in it longer than you.
That's right.
I use it better.
That's right.
You know.
And Reese, in our church for the last months or so, wonderful, wonderful sermons have came out, but teaching us who we are in God.
Yep.
Knowing who we are in God will keep us closer to understanding what Satan's trying to do. So we have to be careful not to take off this garment and that garment, because you're going to wind up with a messy room. And when I mean a messy room, I'm talking about a messy mind. And I'm glad you brought that up about the renewing of your mind. Satan wants to get in, and he wants to mess up our mind. And he wants it to be messy where we can't see things. We have to walk through the dirty, the clean. Everything's just a chaos. Can I use that word? Sister Shirley used it Sunday morning. Everything is chaos. And if your world feels like it's in chaos right now, and I know there's somebody listening here who feels like their world is chaos, Sister Shirley preached about it Sunday. Get her sermon. But I'm going to just stress what she stressed. God created good out of darkness and chaos. He created the earth, and he created everything in the earth, and he would say after it, and it is good. But he did it when he brought light into chaos. And you want your chaotic world changed? Let the light of the Holy Spirit come into you. Get a hold of the light of the world, and you will see your chaotic world start to change. It will change. That's a promise God has done for you. So when a negative spirit starts coming over us, if we're not careful, Satan will start throwing our past and our present and what's going to happen to us in the future. He'll start throwing that in. And then if you're not careful, depression and oppression will set in. And before we know it, the spirit of heaviness is upon us again, even though God has given us the garment of praise. So what do we do? We take the garment that we have and we cover up this spirit of heaviness, or we put it on us, because when we put on the garment of praise, it's not a cover up. He completely removes the spirit of heaviness from our spirit man, and we keep that garment of praise on long enough, and then our spirit man starts to sing the praises, and then we open our mouth and let our physical man sing the praises. Why do we need to let our physical man sing the praises? So our flesh starts lining up with what the Spirit says. And it needs to come out of our mouth. But if you can't speak for whatever physical reason, your spirit man will still sing loud enough. But if God has given us a tongue that works, we need to give our flesh over to God also.
You know, the Amplified says there in Isaiah 61, the garment or the expressive praise.
The expressive.
It's going to come out.
Yes.
To come out.
That's what we do. Now, who made the first garments in the world? We know that Adam and Eve was made, shall we say, nude.
God did.
And nakedness wasn't bad back then. It wasn't bad at all. It was after the fall and disobedience and Adam and Eve's awareness that they were without clothes, and they tried to, you know, make their own clothes out of fig leaves, and that didn't work at all. And God very sadly, I think it was with a sad heart, knew that he had to cover up their nakedness because they had disobeyed and their eyes were open to things that he had not wanted them to be made aware of. But it happened. And then he had to come up with a plan to take care of Adam and Eve. He wasn't ready to throw them away or annihilate them or destroy them and start all over. That's not the God we have. He's not wanting to annihilate you. He's not wanting to destroy you. He's not wanting to throw you away. I don't care what kind of stuff you've done against God. He doesn't. He wants to do to you what he did to Adam and Eve, which was to cover them with the clothing of blood. We as Christians nowadays get covered with the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise God. But Adam and Eve had to get covered with tunics or clothing or robes or whatever it was made out of animal skins that shed the blood, the first shedding of blood in the Garden of Eden. And it had to grieve God's heart, but he loved Adam and Eve more than he loved the creation of his animals. And he made it, and it was covered with blood. And that's what started him teaching us that we have to have a blood covering. And in the Old Testament, they used the blood sacrifices with the goats and the bulls and the animals until Jesus Christ came on the scene. And then he shed his blood for us one time and one time only. And praise God, we have access to it. And it covers us. God's plans are so wonderful. He knows what he's doing. He has not missed a step. If there is a misstep, it's because we stepped out, not he. God doesn't make missteps. We make missteps, and he'll love us when we step back into the line, and he'll love us while we're out there, and he'll, you know, he does everything he can to woo us back and take care of us. You see, garments, and that was the first garment. God made the first garments, and it was used to cover something, which at that time was the nakedness. And it's also used nowadays to show like a position or an office, a job or career. For example, nurses wear uniforms. The armies and the military have their uniforms, and you can tell one military from the other if you're familiar enough with it. I'm not all the time, but Marines have theirs and the Army has theirs. And, you know, you go into even fast food restaurants, you know, Allie works at Culver's. She's got her Culver's hat. She's got the T-shirt that says Culver's, which means she works for Culver's when she stands in the drive-thru line. It helps us with identity. Do y'all get where I'm going with this? It helps us with identity. When we put on the garments that God has made for us, do you know what Satan sees and what others should see? Jesus. He has given us a robe of righteousness. When we put on the garment of righteousness, which he has gave to us, which is a song we sing, when people look at us, they don't see Phyllis Keltner. They don't see Linda Seaton. They don't see Laverne Relaford. As wonderful as these people are, by the way, and I love them all. They see Jesus Christ. That's who we identify with. It's just like wearing a T-shirt that says, Jesus Christ. People look at us and say, oh, they're part of this organization called Jesus Christ. It's like us wearing a uniform. It should say, Jesus Christ. And when people look at us, that's exactly who they need to identify us with, is Jesus Christ. It's also, garments are also used in different events. And the one I'm thinking of is weddings. The wedding gowns and the bridesmaids' gowns and the tuxedos and all the things that go with special events. also with celebrations. I'm not saying I agree with all the costumes and stuff, but you go to Rio de Janeiro when they have their big festivals down there, and they have the big hats and the plumes, and it all is to, when you look at it, you see them being festive, and this is a party. You can look at them, or the Mardi Gras with the beats and stuff, and the football players, you know, they're playing football, the baseball players. So it helps identify an important event that's going on. But the one I'm thinking of is God has given us a wedding gown, a wedding garment, when we get married, completely and totally married to our bridegroom, who is Jesus Christ. And that important event, how do we get this wedding garment? It's white, through the blood of Jesus Christ. What can make us white as snow? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so, you know, for example, garments for the priest. See, all these garments I'm talking about have a significance to them. And God has given us all these garments, the garments of righteousness, the robe of righteousness, the white that we talk about when we get to heaven. We shall all be robed in white. The colorful garment of praise that we have here on earth, which should let people look at us and see our festive praising spirit. They shouldn't have to wait for us to open our mouths. They should be able to see when we have on that garment of praise, something in our eyes, something in our attitude, something in our countenance. Boy, that person, I mean, gosh, how can they smile like that? Of course, you don't know sometimes people are smiling, but I have learned you can look in their eyes. You can look in their eyes. There's something about their countenance that you think, boy, what do they have? They're wearing the garment of praise in the midst of the negativity. Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and we're gonna pray that things get put together. But they had to wear these white robes of the finest linen to get into the presence of God. And they were told to enter into the presence of God. They were told as part of their priestly duties. They were to enter his gates with praises on their lips. You all, we don't have gates like the tabernacle, but our gates are those doors back there. And when we come to church, we need to be entering those doors, not talking about how bad the news was the past week or what was going on. I may be teaching too strong.
Right.
But we need to enter his gates with praises on our lips when we enter. We enter into his presence. Not that he requires it. If we go in complaining, he will love on us, he will hug us, and he will say, "Daughter, why so down? Have you forgotten?" And you need to listen. But if you will go into his presence with praises on your lips, the strength he wants to give us is heaviness, presence of God. He's given us the garment of pride for the spirit of heaviness that we can put on here and keep on focusing on God and keep on going on. We wind up in more victorious, I use that word, more victorious, more praise in our mind. There, we just need to bring it up here, because this is where Satan can't touch our spirit man, folks. Can't get our praise by going into our spirit man. He gets it by going in our mind and talking us out of the garment of praise. He encourages us. Things are really bad right now. Just throw off that praise robe right now. Let's just talk about how bad things are.
That's quick.
Just quit. Give up. Let's talk about how bad things are. Next thing you know, this heaviness is on us. And the thing is, we have this robe that all we have to do is just stay in it. Stay in this robe. The book of Psalms is called the book of Tehillim. T-E-H-I-L-L-I-M, which I told you all that that word was also a Hebrew word for praise. So basically, literally, Psalms is a book of praise. That's why I encourage you to go to Psalms. Read the praises that David had on his lips for God. Repeat them yourselves until they get into your spirit, man, until you even memorize some of them. We need to start memorizing the word of God. Thy word will I hide in my heart. We need to get it in our heart. And some of the things that we've heard over and over, we quote out like that. Can't do scripture like Pastor does it. Boy, if I could. Oh, my goodness.
And Laverne.
But I'm better than I was when I started this walk 30 years ago. A lot better. And you just keep filling yourself up with the word. That's it. It's not that you have to memorize so many verses to get an award from God. It's that he's saying, fill yourself up with my word, and you will be more victorious against the negativity that comes towards you or the darts that Satan wants to send to you. Fill yourself up with my word.
You know, Miss Martha, years and years and years ago, when we were introduced to faith and the Word of God, what we learned at that point in time in our life was the importance of confessing the Word.
That, right.
But the angle that at that time really was wrong because it became legalistic. Right. And people began saying, well, I quoted that healing scripture 20 times a day and I still didn't get healed. But you see, quoting Word is, I'm not trying to make God do something.
No.
I'm quoting the Word to get this head on straight.
That's right.
Where automatically it'll come out and it'll be a part of my life.
That's
but
right.
I'm not trying to get God to do anything.
That's right. And there are people who say, I'm going to read through the Bible, and they have a program where they read through the Bible, and that's fine. But it's like any book you read. If you pick it up and read the words, you're just reading the words and checking the box off that you read the Bible. And God doesn't want that either. He wants the Word to become part of us. Deep in our heart, He wants it to become part of us. So, yeah, you can say the scripture 20 times, but if it doesn't get down from your head and tongue to your heart and spirit, man, it's not there to draw on when you might need it in a time that you don't have time. When Pastor died, Laverne did not have time to quote a scripture 50 times. She quoted the Word of God. She believed it, and it was there because it was a part of her.
She told me I wasn't going anywhere.
Right. She knew.
I said, I'll see you when we get to home.
Yeah.
And you know, she hadn't said this, but even she never said, God, you're going to have to do something.
No. She took the authority of a wife for a husband that God gave in a Christian marriage, and she used the Word on it. She didn't have to say, God, you're going to have to do something. You know why? She knew God was going
to
do something. That's right. You do have to believe it. And you will believe it by hearing the Word, hearing the Word, and hearing the Word. It says that in the Bible.
We are destroyed for a lack of knowledge.
And we are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And that's why these Bible studies and your own personal studies. I just want to encourage people, don't wait for Sunday morning to praise God. Don't wait for Sunday morning to have your own personal Bible study with Him. Don't wait. It needs to be a daily renewing, especially right now in this world. You need a daily renewing before you open up that door, turn on that TV or anything. Before you leave your bedroom in the morning. You know, I've got now where for whatever reason, and I don't know why, the last 2 weeks, I wake up at 5 to 4 and 5 after 4. I mean, just as regularly and routinely. So I'll get up and say, because usually I'm a really sound sleeper. I go to bed at 10:30. I wake up about 6. I get my tea. I do my things. But for 2 weeks now. And I thought, okay, God, what are you wanting to say with me? So the first thing I start doing is I start working on my Bible study, praying over it. I want to get it done if He wants to show me something. Get through with that, I do my devotion books. Me and Him talk. I go get a cup of tea because I drink tea every morning, hot tea. I love my hot tea. And me and Him sit there and we have a conversation. Do I know if He's drinking tea or not? No, but we're communing. So I tell people, oh, I'm having tea with God. Some people have coffee with God. There's coffee drinkers, tea drinkers, whatever it is. Spend your morning having breakfast with God. The word being the food. And I don't know when this 4 o'clock waking will stop. I know it won't go on forever. It's for a time such as this, but I don't know why. All I know is I'm being obedient to God.
You remember that?
Yes. Yes. Drinking tea with the King.
Yeah.
That's right. So anyway, here we have this book of praise called Psalms. That's what the Hebrews called it. And it was a song book for worship in the temple in Jerusalem. That was the purpose of it all. But it has been given to us the inspired word of God. What's in here is what God wanted. What's not in here is not what God wanted. Therefore, God wants us to use this in our daily lives. We don't have to wait till we get to church or get to the temple at Jerusalem. Some of us would never sing the Psalms. We can go every day to the book of Psalms, and that's our songbook. Of course, the whole word of God is wonderful. We need to devour it. But if you want to know a place to start for praise, start in the book of Psalms. From the Spirit-filled Bible, it went on to say that the Psalms provide, oh, I love the phrasing of this, the Psalms provide the means for eager hearts to express their praises to the Holy One. What do you need to praise God? An eager heart. And it says here, the Spirit-filled Bible went on to expand and talk about Psalms, and I didn't put everything down. The Psalms can be a means for you, or a way for you, for your eager heart to express your praises to God. Yes, Pastor.
I know. I think one of the things that we should realize, we look at the Psalms and we associate David with them.
Right.
But David did not write the whole 150.
Right. That's right.
When it's a psalm he wrote, it says a psalm of David.
Right.
And then there's others. But so what we're looking at here is not just one man that had going on with God.
Right.
But several different ones.
Right.
Who had the presence of God so strong that they thought that that's
right.
The
psalmist is what they call him. The psalmist. Which, of course, is the song writer and his praises. And that's right, Pastor. It's not just David. And it's not just one person doing the praise and worship here. I don't care who your praise and worship leader is. It's not just one person in order to send praise to God. And we don't have to wait till Sunday to praise him. We can have our own praise and worship service at home and get really excited. So you wake up, your heart is eager to say something to God, but you don't even know what to say because your heart's so full and your flesh is so full. Go to the Psalms and start there. And before you know it, it'll just be a part of you. So I just want to ask the question for those here and for those who are listening. How many of us, I'm going to include us, have woke up with eager hearts to praise the Lord this week? Be aware of that. If your heart's not eager, do something to make it eager. Start reading the Word of God. Get your devotions out. Pray. And pretty soon it'll become such a part of you, you wake up with an eager heart to start the day in the Word of God. Yes, Pastor.
When we come back to this or any of our songs, how many, for instance, we talk about how the Psalms, it might start out, whoa, everybody's turned against me, and blah, 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 blah. But by the time the Psalm ends, mm-hmm. he's sounding that.
Yes, he is.
Whoever wrote that particular song, but David especially. And how many of us, when we do songs, or when we sing worship and praise songs, how many of our songs end with, I hope I can hold on till the end?
Not any here that I know of. Not any here. And it's not that the songs might not start out like we're in bondage, we have chains, but then it sends us into, but listen, folks, we have a way maker, we have a chain breaker, and it ends up focusing us away from what we think is our problem to the answer to our problem.
David never ended the song with, I don't know what to do now.
Right, that's exactly right. And so, it's not that we don't need to be aware of what is negative. It's just we don't focus on it, and we look at what we know is the answer to the problem.
We don't live by the negative.
No, we don't live by the negative. We find the answers for it, and we keep going forward. I want to read from Psalms 100, a very familiar passage. Do you get tired of familiar passages? Oh, here we go again. I've heard this now 620 times. If you find yourself getting tired of the Word of God, you need to pray. You need to pray. But Psalms 100, a very, very familiar passage. In fact, there's a song that goes with it that we have sung for years and years and years and years. Know that the Lord, He is God. A reason to praise God right there. Get in your heart that you know the Lord, He is God. Just me saying, oh, folks, by the way, do y'all know we have one God? You need to get it inside yourself. Yes, I know I have one God, and there is one God, and I know this one God, and I have a relationship with this one God. Know that you know that you know that you know. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Good reason to praise God. And because of that promise right there, that verse right there, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. And because of that, we should enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise and be thankful to Him and bless His name. Why should we enter His gates with thanksgiving? For the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us. We don't have to depend on ourselves, folks. We be in said shape. We are His people. We are His people. Is that not enough reason right there, if we don't learn anything else, to praise God?
Martha,
yes.
In the Message Bible.
Yes.
But if you don't mind.
Go right ahead.
It says, on your feet now.
On your feet, okay.
Applaud God. Bring a gift of laughter.
Oh, wow.
Sing yourselves into His presence. And I love this. Know this, God is God, and God, God.
God is God, and God, God.
He made us.
Yes.
We didn't make Him.
No.
We're His people.
Yes.
His well-tended sheep.
Yes, amen.
Enter with the password, thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, make yourselves at home. Talk and pray.
Yes.
Thank Him.
Yes.
Worship Him.
Amen.
For God is sheer beauty, all generous in love, loyal always and ever.
Woo-hoo! Amen. Go to the Message Bible, yes, and read Psalms 100, yes, 3 through 5.
Yes.
It will make you get on your feet, yes, applaud God, and tell you why you need to praise Him.
And that's it. I have a revelation too.
Yes, Pastor has a revelation. We love it. Mm-hmm.
Now, I just sitting there looking at that, but listening to what y'all were saying, why some people still can read that and have problems is because they miss one word. They're reading it like this.
Mm.
We are His people and the sheep of our pasture.
We want to keep us in there instead of it being His pasture. We want to make it our pasture.
You live in your pasture, no wonder it's short.
That's right. That's exactly right.
You make us a slide down in green pasture.
Right.
But if we want to walk on our own, take our own pasture.
Right.
Pasture.
Right.
Eat your own grass. Be a self-made person.
lack of water, maybe. Things aren't as good in our pastures as it is in God's. That's right. That's right.
All of his pastures are out in the middle away from the
woods. That's right.
Away from the woods.
Plus, his pastures have angels that encamp around about. God has made it all for us. And let's go on down after that. And do we have another reason to enter his gates with thanksgiving, to applaud him, to thank him, to worship him, all the things Miss Laverne read in the Message Bible? Do we have another reason to do that in the verse underneath? For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. It means it does not run out. You don't have to fear your future. He does not weaken. His mercy does not give up. It does not stop. I don't care what kind of future we have out there. God's mercy and promises are everlasting. We don't have to fear the future. We might not like the future. We might get a little bit scared. But we don't have to walk in total fear that keeps us from pushing on with God.
What's the last phrase,
Mother? And his truth endures. To all. A.
Whoa.
Oh, you want me to go back?
No.
Oh.
Why are there so many churches that talk about things that have passed away?
Right. And his truth endures to all.
And healing.
Yes.
And speaking in tongues.
Right.
And yet these still people still teach that all these things have passed away. They still pray.
Yes.
They'll ask for prayer for
yes,
healing, and yet
they will. That's right. But his truth endures to all generations. And guess what? I'm not going to count how many generations it is from Psalms. Plenty. But it means that it goes to, it's in our generation right now. His truth is in our generation if we choose to seek it and believe it and don't do stuff like make it go away or say it's no longer here. It is also, you worry about your children and grandchildren, what kind of world they're going to live in? Do you ever, I'm not going to say worry because I do think about it. Concern, especially with some of the things going on. I think, God, my children and my grandchildren need you more than ever. I don't know what kind of world I'm going to leave behind for them. But you know what? I don't have to worry because right here I can claim his truth endures to all generations, that your children, your grandchildren, and if you have great-grandchildren, it endures to all generations. His truth will not pass away. It will be there for our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. Well, what if they come in and start taking away the Bibles and we can't meet the churches? That's the church.
We'll get that all taken care of, and we know what to do. We've been doing it.
Well, the church is a building. When I say church, I mean building churches, not the church. The Bible, it's printed on paper, so if they want to take it away from us. But if you have thy word, have I hid in my heart, guess what? They can't take it from there. So it doesn't matter what physical things are taken away. There's one thing. His truth endures for all generations, and it does not matter what the world tries to do to destroy the truth of God. It doesn't matter. You may think, well, Miss Martha, don't you listen to what they're doing out there with the truth of God? Well, all I can tell you is the Bible says his truth endures to all generations. It's up to you whether you pick it up and live it.
Time like God doesn't know what's going on.
We do. Yeah, we do. We do.
Did
but
you say that?
And then when we pray and something miraculous happens, we say, can you believe that?
Right.
Oh, thank you, God, for showing the manifestation of what we've been praying for.
Except the atmosphere of expectancy.
Yes.
Breeding ground for miracles.
Yes. So you see, not only do we put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, We have to put on the garment of the priest, the fine white linen that he gives to us because of the robe of righteousness. When you hear the word robe of righteousness, you almost picture it as white, don't you? Because he washes away all our sins. And so I'm going to stop there because it's 7 o'clock. And we're going to go farther next week and talk about, yes, we need to put on the robes of righteousness and the white fine linen robes as priests, because guess who are the priests now?
We are. I was just thinking about that.
My hand is raised for those who can't see it. Yes, raise your hand if you know for sure you're a priest for God. I can point it out in the New Testament. We're going to go there next week. We are his priest. And he has given us all that we need to be his priest. We don't have to cleanse ourselves. We don't have to make our robes white. We don't. All we have to do is do what he tells us as priest in order to get the light to the world. And so that's where I'm headed next week, if that's okay with you all, is putting on the robe of the priesthood. And you're saying, that's really not the robe of heaviness. I mean, it's not the robe of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Well,
it's part of worship.
It's part of worship. It's part of worship. But it's also talking about the garments of God. And what we need to pick up and have in our closet, our spiritual closet, and what we need to put on and keep on. I want to thank you all again for your wonderful input and attention, and that's what makes a Bible study.
It doesn't say a Psalm of David. All the Psalms in my Psalms, if David wrote it, it'll say a Psalm of David.
Right, that's right.
But that might be, but it doesn't say on mine. Does it yours?
I have the spirit field. We'll see what it says. This is what a Bible study does. It helps us to learn and teach, and that's why we need to share.
Pastor uses that all the time, spirit field. Does it say a Psalm of David?
It says a song of praise for the Lord's faithfulness to his people.
Somebody in worship and praise that was part of the people.
Yes, it is a Psalms of Thanksgiving.
Look at Psalm 103.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy
name. You mean the top part of it. Praise for the Lord's mercies, a Psalm of David.
Yep.
Pardon?
101 is a Psalm of David.
And 101 is a Psalm of David. But it all works, the promised faithfulness to the Lord, a Psalm of David. The thing is, it doesn't matter who writes it. It's all molded together as the Holy Spirit gave it together, like our services on Sunday morning. The Holy Spirit tells Laverne something. He tells Miss Shirley something. He tells Pastor something. And we get up and we share it. And the thing is, you all haven't talked to each other.
You were getting ready to teach it on the next Wednesday night.
That's exactly right. It happens all the time. And it's where the Holy Spirit is saying, I want to work this together. I want you to hear this. And it's important that you hear it. And it's just the way the Holy Spirit does things. And it's wonderful. We need to be excited about it. I love you, Victoria. I'm sorry.